When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
The Junkies are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Don't forget, in just about 40 minutes, Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post will join us. So you want to keep listening for that. Time now to hit the skins. That's brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now? Well, then grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case. Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code Junkies. You score 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great.
All right, boys. What a great feeling it is. Knock out that 3-game losing streak, Cakes. Put a 42 burger on the Titans, 42-19.
Get the cruise into the bye week with victory. Just tucked under your belt.
I watched some of the Terry and Jaden pressers yesterday, and you know, both of them, certainly Jaden talked about how it just would have been brutal to lose four straight and go into the bye, right? You just couldn't do it. And he did say one thing that I thought was interesting was that, you know, we all heard about like Bobby Wagner sort of addressing the team and the veterans, like the Zach Ertzes of the world, kind of leading the guys through and say, hey, adversity is part of it. This is what you got to do. And one phrase he used was, Jaden said, that guys were like, what are you going to sacrifice to get to where we need to be?
Right.
You know, let's all, like, obviously we're going to put the work in, but we need to put extra work. What are you going to sacrifice? I'm going to use that with my kids. I'm going to use that with my youngest still coming up, Cakes.
Yeah.
What are you going to sacrifice? I like that kind of stuff.
Well, she sacrificed TikTok.
Yeah. What are you going to sacrifice to get where you want to be? Anyway, I thought the guys had a great response to it. Valdez sent me an interesting clip of one of the Titans. Is it Jarvis Brownlee? I don't know if that's the correct name. And here's him talking about one reason why he thinks the Titans struggled against the Commanders.
I don't think guys was locked in more. I think guys let the cold get to them. Because, I mean, I'm a Florida guy. I don't like the cold, but I know what comes with playing in this profession. And sometimes, you know, you're going to have to play through things that you don't like. And I think guys let the cold affect them. You know, a lot of guys ain't going to say it, but that's what I think.
Wow, I don't know if that's going to go over too well with the boys.
Probably not.
It wasn't even that cold.
It was 40 degrees.
Yeah, it's not like it was
Lambo. I mean,
40
degrees isn't great. It's not like you're laying on a beach somewhere, but
Cakes,
it's not
if the sun is behind the clouds, it feels like it's 20. I can tell you that.
I know. Jace is going to dispute that.
I can tell you that from same temperature. Right.
I heard the same thing about the Dolphins against the Packers.
Yeah.
There was, I think it was a columnist saying, what does it say to your players when the head coach is seen on the sideline shivering?
Yeah.
that Mike McDaniels was like shivering, looked like he didn't want to be
like
there.
He was miserable too. Yeah. Didn't want to be there.
Well, yeah. I mean, there is something to be said for a team that is used to the warm weather.
Well, 100%.
Because that's what they're practicing in every
100%.
Day. And the majority of their games are in warm weather.
Of course. Right. I mean, are those Florida boys?
Yeah.
Well, Hawaii guys, too.
I mean, no doubt.
There's a reason that when Tua plays in sub-45 degree weather.
He's like 1-5 or something.
I think he's 0-7.
Oh, 0-7, yeah.
And he just doesn't win games in those conditions.
Yeah. My son and I were talking about it when Maris played Air Force. Those guys did like one mini run and wiped out.
Yeah.
How did he play the Broncos?
I don't know.
I think there's a theory. We've talked about this before, certainly with time zone stuff. There's one theory that you go there several days in advance to acclimate.
Yeah.
The other thing is you just swoop in, get out.
I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you acclimate. I can tell you, I remember it from also in the Air Force. I wasn't running, but also in Colorado for a lacrosse tournament for, a club thing.
Yeah.
The altitude in Denver is incredible, the impact it has on you.
Yeah,
you feel it as a human just walking
around.
I was shocked the Browns are actually this progressive, but there was a little, aside in the game last night where I guess at their training complex they have a room that mimics the altitude in Denver. Hmm. So when they go and play in Denver, guys can go into that room during the week, do some of their workouts in there, do some of their cardio in there to replicate what it's going to do to their bodies when they play in Denver. And Jerry Jeudy, I guess, was telling guys, you better, because he played in Denver, obviously, before Cleveland. He said, you guys better get in that room.
Yeah.
You better get in that room before we make this trip.
I think the cold is a similar kind of impact. Not maybe as stark, but, that's like a constant reminder. Yeah. You're miserable.
But we've talked about the Bills-Niners game a little bit. Nobody on that – San Francisco's had a really bad year.
Yeah.
All right, injuries, guys, daughters and sons are dying. I mean, it's been incredible.
Like the Trent Williams stuff, it's awful.
Yeah, Tre'Davious Ward, his 1-year-old daughter died. But nobody on that San Francisco roster wanted to be on that field.
Mm-hmm. They played like it.
And Josh Allen, he might be the best snow quarterback of all time.
He played in Wyoming. So
he just knows.
Of course, he's used to those conditions.
But the Bills are used to that effect because they're used to that weather. San Francisco, it's 65 degrees out there.
I don't want to give them that excuse. Let's just be clear. I think we would have smoked them on a 75 and sunny day, too.
I agree with
that. Okay. Just to be clear, I'm not giving them an excuse. I just thought it was interesting that he said that. Now, one thing that we didn't talk about yet, I'm kind of all over the place because I got a lot of things I want to bring up, was Manny Forbes being released. I almost felt like they kind of snuck it in over Thanksgiving holiday.
Saturday.
Yeah. And it was kind of interesting because you think about it, you go, okay, Lattimore's coming back probably, but Lattimore didn't even come back.
Right.
They're just like, we're just going to move on.
Yeah.
I will say, in fairness to the organization or whatever, I mean, I think people saw, obviously, the writing was on the wall. It wasn't going to work. By the way, if I was Fedarian Mathis, I'd be nervous because he was a healthy scratch.
Hopefully he's been renting, didn't buy.
Yeah, and so we kind of know how the healthy scratch routine works around here.
Sure.
But Quinn did, to his credit, and I think oftentimes it doesn't necessarily happen. It does when the Hard Knocks cameras are there, but when the Hard Knocks cameras aren't, do they kind of talk to every player that's released? He said he made a point of visiting with Forbes, brought him into the office, and he encouraged him, and he said, look, change of scenery oftentimes is very good for guys, and that there have been plenty of guys on this roster that thrive with their second teams, their third teams, and kind of encouraging him. And so I don't know how Manny took it, but good news for him, the Rams did pick him up, and so he will have opportunity, presumably at some point, to get back out there and try
to
prove himself.
And the Rams have to pay the freight on his salary. Now that's all.
They did it. They didn't wait the 24. They did it right away.
They claimed him.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Rams are now on the hook. I think he's like $5.5 or $6 million.
Well, it tells you that they probably plan on playing him.
Yeah, I was gonna say that it's funny that Sean McVay picks him up.
Right.
I mean, he knows talent.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I'm guessing Forbes will be a better player with the Rams than he was.
I'm guessing that too. And I said that about 10 days ago or so, and everyone looked at me like I was an alien. The Commanders weren't the only team. They may have drafted him, too high, but they weren't the only team that had him sort of in the conversation of first or second round.
He had 14 interceptions in college.
Right.
No, he would have been drafted. So, he might have not been a draft of the first round, but he would have been a second round.
When first round busts happen, other teams are going to give you, they're going to kick the tires on you, see if they can fix you.
If you want to see
six
something
pick
funny,
sixes, yeah. Like his resume alone.
That's college. That's way different than the pro.
Right.
If you want to see something funny, go back and watch Ron Rivera when they're shooting him in his car, talking about
with Mayhew.
Forbes falls to us. He's a turnover machine, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, anything he says about personnel and picking players, it's garbage.
Right.
He's
bad track
he's
record for sure.
At it. He's.
Now, speaking
of guys. But what McVay said about Forbes is there's good tape that he's put out there when we've gone against them, particularly later in the year last year.
Mm-hmm.
So he likes what he saw, likes him out of college.
Yep.
Speaking of guys making the most of their opportunities, I was really glad that, you know, announcers, especially when you get like the D team. What team did we have? I was barely paying attention. What team did we have doing the game?
Andrew Catalan and
it was a three-teamer. McCourty
and Barber.
McCourty, okay, that's right.
What you were talking about.
Which is Jason McCourty or is it Devin McCourty?
I think it was
Devin.
I think it was Jason.
Yeah, no, I think Jason was.
It was the one who played for the Titans.
Yeah, I think it's Devin, and then Jason does the NBC stuff.
Okay.
Right. I mean, God bless him, make a living, whatever, but it's definitely not the A team.
No.
When you're watching it.
I mean, I thought they were okay.
But they say things that make me crazy.
Like what?
Okay. Now, I was glad they said nice things about, they were on the Rodriguez thing about how he was released, you know, the week before and roster maneuvers. And there he goes. That might have been his best game as a pro. I'm not sure. But he did great. But they said it early on in the game. You probably didn't catch it. But listen, you know me. I'm the president, the executive, the CEO of the Jaden Daniels fan club.
Yes,
okay?
You've mentioned that a few times.
All right. I will acknowledge that he takes awkward hits at times. In fact, that was the whole talk we said leading up to the season, is that one analyst called him Johnny Knoxville for all the hits he took. The announcer, one of those dummies, kept saying, one thing about Jaden Daniels, man, he knows how. He never gets hit hard. He knows how to avoid the big hits.
I heard him say that.
And then I sit there and I go,
you haven't watched this team.
You're just spewing cliches.
He must have watched one game a couple
and
weeks
maybe
ago where he
got down.
Right.
I know. I hate the Nationals.
Did he miss the Panthers game where he got knocked out of the game?
Yeah.
Literally, they called him Johnny Knoxville.
But I will say this. Jaden's getting better at that.
Yes.
He is getting better.
Yeah.
And now I kind of see
the
throwing his body down, not sliding, because you saw what happened to Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
Because, listen, and I'll be the only guy to defend the guy. Like, you can't defend the head-to-head hit. That's awful. And I saw he apologized for it. He didn't mean to do it. I believe him. He didn't mean to do it.
He basically said, look, he started to slide while I was already in the air.
I watched it slow motion many times.
Although he launched himself.
He did launch himself.
Yeah, but he doesn't know he's going to slide.
But it literally is a bang.
He used his forearm. It wasn't like head-to-head.
Listen, I'm not saying it was the cleanest hit ever, but I'm just saying it was bang, bang.
But what the injury occurred when Trevor's head hit the ground, when the player hit Trevor.
Oh, is that true? I didn't even know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when it really.
But the reason his head hit the ground is because he impacted him with his forearm.
Listen, but look, he deserves the suspension. Yeah. He deserves all of that.
Okay, it's football.
I don't think it was evil intent, and I do think it was bang bang. Like he was going down, and you could see he was going down, but he kind of launched himself at the same time. Now you're not supposed to launch yourself. Fair.
But in the heat of the moment, you're trying to make a
play.
Heat
of the moment,
they're not thinking about that.
Yeah. I kind of give him a little bit of a pass.
But McCourty said that, I told myself, you know what? This guy
doesn't know what he's saying.
He doesn't watch the games.
No, he doesn't know the team.
He might
like
have watched a couple of highlights.
Yeah. I'm sure you get that when you watch the Ravens.
No, they're doing like a flyby on your team. And they're not in-depth. They're not kind of living and breathing the team week to week. They have no idea what's going on, the ins and outs.
But, you know, they got to follow all the teams. So.
No, they're getting the Cliff Notes version of your team that season.
They're getting the bullet points before they do the broadcast.
Yes. And it's easier if you just talk in cliches instead of being wrong if you're trying to be exact about something.
Right. I don't know. It's just those kinds of things, they just infuriate me. They should actually ask me before they say anything.
You should be a consultant.
Yeah, you should run all your talking points.
Fox and CBS should have a meeting with you.
Run all your talking points by me, and I'll tell you if it's valid or not.
And just charge them $1,000 an hour. I think that's reasonable to be factually correct on the broadcast.
Speaking of which, last night, did you hear Joe Buck talking about Dan Quinn?
No, I want to hear
that. You have this audio, so this is good.
And I would say that most had this Denver team penciled in for what, 5 or 6 wins? They got a rookie quarterback. When you talk about Sean Payton in that coach of the year race, if there is one, he's the only guy that's doing it with a rookie quarterback.
I agree, yeah. And I think maybe a lot of people don't recognize how difficult that is. And like we talked about coming in, not only with a rookie quarterback, but a lot of young players, out of necessity, when you release Russell Wilson and all that dead money coming into play this year and next year.
Yeah, and I'm not slighting Dan Quinn, by the way, who's done a great job in Washington. And he's doing it with Jaden Daniels, but you hear it about Tomlin, and Dan Campbell has been amazing. And O'Connell in Minnesota guy, Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers. But the one guy doing it with a rookie quarterback is Sean Payton. First down.
It's a lot.
He said
in
it
that,
again.
He just said it.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird that he doubled down.
Because they just talk.
What is Joe Buck thinking?
Who knows? He's just talking.
He just mentioned Dan Quinn that he's doing it with a rookie quarterback.
But he dismissed it. But, and I think he's dismissing it maybe because Jaden has a higher pedigree.
Okay, but Troy Aikman agreed with him.
Well, because again, they're dumb.
They have blinders on for that game. Yeah, blinders
maybe
on
that's
for
that game.
I tell you exactly what happened. He's doing his whole soliloquy. All right, then a producer probably tells him in his ear,
100%.
Hey, you forgot about Dan Quinn.
Because there was a gap there.
Forgot about Dan Quinn.
There was a gap in the audio when he's getting that nugget from the producer.
And then he dropped the ball. He had a brain fart.
And then he doubles down on his brain fart.
Yeah.
Well, I do think he was trying to say that Dan Quinn's not involved in the Coach of the Year race. I think that's kind of what he's saying in his opinion or around the league.
I think he should be.
I think he should get consideration.
I think he's just talking out of his ass.
You think
he's killing time. And he had somewhat of a point, but it wasn't. Believe me, I do it all the time. You kind of have a point, but you forget something. You know, I think he was just winging it. And he was trying to make that one point, but he did forget, whoa, this one actually.
Right, that's why when whoever told him in his ear, maybe he just thought about it himself, but he should have corrected himself and said, well, you know what? Dan Quinn is doing it with a rookie quarterback, but I think Sean Payton's doing a better job. Maybe he could have said that.
Sure.
But he said it twice, and Aikman agreed with him. What a dumb duo.
Now, do you also have... the national announcers, I'll say this, all of them make me crazy.
Those guys are making $20 million a year, by the way.
Troy Aikman, by the way, is the biggest hand talker in the country.
Well, he's got big, giant hands.
Huge. But that's all he does is this.
Right.
Can you, Valdez, now play me the part where Dan Quinn talks about the kicking situation? Because I actually didn't hear this, but I think Cakes will find this interesting.
Okay.
Obviously, Dan, the kicking game has been a bit of a journey this year, and same this is to yesterday. What were you guys at kind of with that position going into this bye week?
Yeah, going into it, I think, because we've had a couple of games with him. So I think now we're probably somewhere in the neighborhood of, don't quote me on it, Ben, but probably 3 or 5 for field goals and maybe – you know, close to 10 for 10 on the extra points. So I do have a lot of confidence in Zane. We put him through all the different processes. You were out here for practice early in the week, into the wind and going. So I like where, you know, he is at physically. I like, you know, the things he's able to do. So you're right that it has been a challenge due to kicking scenarios, injuries, et cetera. But we do have a lot of confidence in Zane.
That's the biggest coach speak ever. That doesn't move me one bit that they have a ton of confidence in him. That's just him up there filling dead space.
Just remember this, Cakes. He sees him every day. He knows what he's capable of. He sees him every day kick balls. If he thought this guy sucked, he'd be the first plane out of there.
Yeah, but he's not going to go up and say that.
He's not going to say
shatter
it.
But his actions,
his actions would do that. So if he cuts his ass this week, you know, you get to gloat.
But you might be right. Maybe they make a change.
Maybe he will. They get a better deal. But I'm not sure that he's going to.
But if they don't make a change, it's because, and we talked about it.
Yeah.
It's not easy to go out and find great kickers that are living in their, you know, they're in their basement.
Right.
Just watching games.
I don't think it's that hard to find those guys. But apparently I'm on an island.
I think in this one.
I'm a crazy person.
And this one, this is probably the only one ever. Okay, you're on an island.
All right, don't forget, coming up at 7:40, we'll be joined by Neil Greenberg. Next, we're going to talk about a new proposed rule that might drive all of the seam heads crazy in Major League Baseball. We'll touch on that next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason, care to give me your feelings on the proposed golden at bat rule that Rob Manfred, the Major League Baseball commissioner,
has
been discussed at owners' meetings?
If that dumb Manfred installs this new golden bat rule, I'm going to stop watching baseball.
I mean, there's so
it's
much,
cheating. It's essentially cheating.
There's so much pearl clutching and people just losing their minds on Twitter.
Go ahead and explain the golden bat rule.
Well, it's where a team could choose one at bat in every game to use its best hitter, regardless of where they are in the lineup.
Right.
So, like, you could have your number nine hitter up and say, you know what?
No, we're going to put Juan Soto in.
Yeah, we're going to put Juan Soto in. We're going to put Bryce Harper in instead of the guy that's hitting 180.
I mean, is that how
desperate? It's not pinch hitting.
No.
Not pinch hitting.
So, if you have Shohei Ohtani.
No, it's pinch hitting, but the player's already in the lineup.
Right. So, Shohei Ohtani's batted in the previous inning.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden it's bases loaded and you go, oh, let me use Shohei here.
Yeah, you use your golden ticket. I like it because it drives all of the seam heads completely crazy. That's what I like about it.
I don't know.
I don't know if it'll get
I can't imagine guys like Mike Rizzo would support this.
I would imagine he would be against it.
He was against some of the rule changes. I think he was for some of them as well. To speed up the game.
Now, 20 years ago, we would have thought a pitch clock on the pitchers would have been insane.
Yeah. I'm getting used to some of those.
Yeah, but guys like Mike Rizzo, I don't think really get a say in it. It's the owners
who will
do anything for a buck sport. And that's a major change.
It's
the 20-second
Drabby, thing. It's cheating.
It's stupid. It's like, why don't we just make a touchdown in the fourth quarter worth 17 points?
Why don't they just in the ninth? If you hit a home run in the ninth inning, it counts as two runs, not one.
You know what? It reeks.
Just change the rules.
It's like rock and jock basketball.
It reeks of desperation.
It's desperation.
It's hey, our product isn't exciting enough as it is. We need to artificially juice it up. With the golden at bat.
Yeah.
I generally agree with you.
Desperation.
But think of it in this way. Hockey.
Yeah.
has wacky overtime and shootout rules. Mm-hmm. They have a game.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it gets to overtime,
yeah.
there are less guys on the ice. It's yeah. super fast-paced. It's mm-hmm. a gimmick. It's such a gimmick, they don't use it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they end with it in playoffs. I mean, they end up with the shootout in the regular season mm-hmm. games if you get through the overtime, which is already a different set of rules.
Yeah.
So I don't
but
love
I don't
it.
Think but hockey are nerds, drastic
but of, hockey of, nerds probably, when they installed that new rule, they probably hated it.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
Because it's
but,
not the
but
same.
They get used to
but
it.
Now you've accepted it.
You get used to
like,
it
okay,
over time.
3v3 right. overtime and then shootout.
But it's a gimmick, just like the end of college football games. I mean, when it gets to like the Georgia Tech game.
It's all two-point conversions.
Two-point conversion right. contest.
Well, they're doing that to protect
they're
the
They're deciding the game with a two-point conversion yeah, I mean, contest.
Same way in the NHL. They don't want these guys playing three extra periods.
Yeah.
Like, they have to end it right. relatively quickly.
But this has nothing to do with that. This has something to do with just creating more excitement.
Right.
That's why they would do it. You're not protecting players from injuries. You're just trying to get the best players more bats to hit more home runs.
Right.
And I think it's but it's cheating.
It would bastardize the game. it would bastardize the record book.
I mean, it. He's trying to turn the game into a circus. Wow, Manfred.
I think you would get used to it. I mean,
you get used to anything.
It doesn't mean that you score the runs. So you get it one. It gives the manager a decision, right?
Yeah.
And you can wait all game. There's a strategy involved. It's only one time in the game, right?
Yeah.
So you're waiting for that bases loaded mm-hmm. time, and then you're going to have your best hitter available with the bases loaded or whatever.
Well,
men
let me ask
on
you
base.
This. Let me ask you
and,
this.
And then there's no guarantee
if
that
Soto,
that guy delivers
if Soto,
a strikeout.
Let's just say if Soto struck out with the bases loaded
mm-hmm.
with one out. Right now it's two outs.
Yep.
Can he have another at bat right away?
Possible.
If that's his spot in the lineup, right?
No, but she can pinch hit for anybody. So
yeah,
if Soto
guess,
strikes out
could,
with
yeah.
the bases loaded,
sure.
and you know whoever's mm-hmm. up behind him,
right?
You take him out, and you Soto right back in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess according to the
back
rules,
to back.
Yeah,
that's a good strategy.
So
that's
sad.
My point. It's giving the manager a strategic decision to make.
Of course you would do it if you're down.
And I think
runs.
It would juice up the interest.
It wouldn't. People who don't like baseball say that. One of the best things about baseball is when you got your number. Like
he loves baseball.
He doesn't watch baseball.
He doesn't care about baseball.
He loves. He grew up loving baseball.
He doesn't like it as much
years
anymore.
Ago,
yeah.
He didn't watch the World Series.
He used to love the Orioles.
He wanted Steven Strasburg to rehab at the major league level.
He doesn't have a burning passion for the Orioles anymore.
He's not even disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
One of the best things about baseball is when the number eighth or ninth in the batting order.
Why would I disagree with him if I agree with him?
You mean disagree with you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Is when a number comes up to bat. And you think it's an automatic out. Howie Kendrick in the World Series mm-hmm. Game 7 hits the home run. Just take that away. Put Juan back up there. The best thing about baseball is when...
Yeah, but it would only happen one time. You could still have your Mark Lemkes.
It's not taking it
have,
away.
You could still have those...
You could.
I know.
You could.
You could still have those moments.
Yeah, you could have your Craig Counsell
I know,
moments.
But
there's plenty of guys.
But it's cheating. That's the way I look at it. It's cheating.
Well, it's not cheating if everybody does it.
It's cheating based on the rules. It's cheating.
It's just a radical departure from anything they've ever done.
I look at it as cheating.
I don't think it's cheating if it's available to every team.
You're cheating the rules of baseball. The genuine
you're changing
rules.
The rules.
No, you're cheating baseball because baseball was never meant to be like that.
Right.
You're cheating. Every team will cheat. That's fine.
Okay, but they got rid of the defensive shift, for example.
Yep.
Which you might say, well, that's kind of cheating. I mean, why not? You can do whatever
cheat.
You want with your...
Yeah.
But why stop at one? Let's just put Juan Soto up every at bat.
Well, eventually they might do that.
Why not?
Yeah,
you and
nuts.
Jason remind me of the guys sitting around the table when Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill go in and they turn baseball on its ear with Moneyball. Like, you guys are very resistant.
Nobody watches the NBA. Nobody watches Luka. Why don't we just make a 9-point 3 pointer?
Put one.
They talk about changing the rules. That's why they started with this goofy NBA
it's
cup.
It's just like the proposed rule, and I don't know if they'll ever do it, but that came out a few months ago, where Major League Baseball wanted to require starting pitchers to throw at least 100 pitches or pitch 5 innings.
Mm-hmm.
So they could give up 9 runs in the first inning, and he's got to come out there for the second inning.
Unless you have an injury or something.
Unless you have an injury, right.
Then you can pull them.
It's cheating. I'm sorry.
I don't know that it's cheating, but I think it's a cheating league. I think it it's the one sport, I've said it a million times, I hold the record books. They're different records. They're iconic records. And if all of a sudden Juan Soto's getting extra at-bats, mm-hmm. everybody's getting extra at-bats, it ruins the record
book. By the way, the NBA might want to adopt some of those rules because their ratings are in the toilet.
Are they really? I haven't even noticed.
They're down nearly 30% on
ESPN. I've watched bits and pieces of the Wizards, but I haven't watched another game, I don't think. I've only seen highlights. I have no interest right now
in the NBA. Well, you're joining the club. I mean,
how many of the Wizards lost in a row? 15?
They're stuck on two wins.
By the way, I'm sorry.
Maybe it's 13.
I check in on them, but I realized, and you're going to mock me, because they've probably been doing this for a couple years. But are all the courts doing that weird court look now?
For the NBA Cup.
Yes,
for the NBA Cup. Just for the NBA Cup. Okay, because I'm like, why is every game? I actually checked out like a Clippers game. No, why are they doing the weird court?
It's just for the in-season
NBA
tournament.
Cup.
All right.
Which is wildly popular.
Okay.
No, it's not. Spoiler alert, it's not that popular.
I think LeBron said something like, the NBA Cup doesn't really matter. Meanwhile, last year he was popping champagne bottles because they won it.
I mean, that's embarrassing. That's an embarrassing look for LeBron and company. Bank local, cheer local, and business. Every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank, proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, Equal Housing Opportunity Lender. Remember, the Fan's merch shop is open for all of your holiday shopping. Go to 1067thefanshop.com for our selection of men's and women's shirts and hoodies, coffee mugs, and more. Pick up those gifts for your loved ones. Order now for holiday delivery. The perfect gift is at 1067thefanshop.com. So get to ordering today. All right, we're joined right now by our friend Neil Greenberg, Washington Post sports columnist and noted stats geek, Metallica, and Iron Maiden fan. We have a lot in common, me and Neil Greenberg. What's up, Neil?
Hi, how's it going? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. So I'm on your Twitter, at N Greenberg, and you reposted something from Tariq El-Bashir. It's video of Ovi skating. I mean, he's 2 weeks removed from a broken bone in his lower leg, and he's already out on the ice in a tracksuit skating around. Now, he's not participating in drills. He's not in a full practice, but that's a great sign.
How far away is he
for a Caps team that's just crushing it right now in the Metropolitan Division? That Ovi looks like he'll be back sooner rather than
later. You know
what?
They don't need him right now, so make sure you just don't push him and make sure he's 100%.
Yeah,
because this team leads the league in goals scored.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're going to look at it. And they're going to say, when does he cross the threshold of playing won't hurt himself? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They may not be 100%, but that him playing is not going to make it worse.
Neil, how baffled are you? I mean, you know hockey a thousand times more than I do. How baffled are you that the offense is so much better and so much more explosive this year than last year?
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised. I mean, coming into the season, I was saying that just enjoy the chase, the Gretzky chase. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Alex Ovechkin's healthy. I mean, I didn't really think the storyline would be this team would go back to the goal scoring output we haven't seen since the fun and gun days, the young gun days. It's a remarkable story. You got to give a lot of credit, obviously, to the players and the coaching staff. Spencer Carberry has done an amazing job. And the fact that they're able to keep things going with their best player, rehabbing a leg injury is remarkable. It looks like maybe we have two teams of destiny in the DMV this year because the Capitals look really, really good.
And the other one I guess you're going to say is the Washington Commanders. I saw your article yesterday. You have their playoff odds at 78%. It's pretty good.
Yeah, so I have them in my power ratings as the 13th best team. I think that they'll win 10 games this year. And I was optimistic about Washington coming into the season, only because I didn't think it paid to be pessimistic. The floor was too low. But you know, the Washington Commanders are playing really well. I mean, the offense got off to a historically great, efficient start. And with the exception of a couple little bumps down the road, I mean, they at least look like a playoff contender. You know, we won't know what happens until they actually make the playoffs and who they're playing, et cetera. But they certainly look like a playoff contender in year one, where almost every face in the organization is new from top to bottom.
Yeah, speaking on that, can you remember any personnel guy or GM in recent memory in the NFL that was as bad as Ron Rivera was, especially at picking first-round picks? Like, his other picks weren't great either, but there were some hits here or there. But his record with the number one picks that aren't with the team anymore is shocking. And it's shocking that they're in playoff contention with all of those guys off the roster.
Yeah, I think that last bit is the testament to the new organization, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because they had very little to work with in terms of first-round talent. And, you know, obviously, you know, the deeper you go in the draft, the more difficult it is to get players that stick. So you really are counting on these first-rounders. But to just not only miss, but to miss on everyone in spectacular fashion is something that we don't see very often. And it could... You would expect it to really set the organization back, but luckily that it hasn't happened with Washington, at least not yet. But, yeah, Ron Rivera, I do not think should be in a talent evaluation role anytime in the near future.
Ron gets the blame for all of that. I get it. But Ron doesn't go out there and scout all the players. You know, the draft
room.
No,
he doesn't.
The draft room had 20 guys in the room, and they're all telling them certain things. You got to blame that entire staff, not just Ron.
Right. It's an organizational failure, right? Like that, I'm being cheeky. But, yeah, it's an organizational failure. I think the fact that this regime has shown to be able to put players in positions to succeed and the fact that the first-round pick still washed out, I think, is the most damning evidence of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, right. It was an organizational failure. I don't think anybody would defend that the Commanders were a well-run organization prior to this year. But hopefully you have the right people in the right spots now, and, you know, there's just a bright future for the organization going forward.
Talking to Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post, and you had written about the Tennessee defense before this game against the Commanders, that when you looked at DVOA, they weren't really that good. So you nailed that on your best bets. But I got to ask you, what's happened this year? 7-20.
Oh, my gosh. It is – talk about spectacular failures. I mean, I am just the worst. What's funny is I actually gave a derivative pick. I gave a first-half touchdown play for Baltimore. I had hit 14 of 15 that week in derivatives, like first half totals, et cetera. The one that I gave in print failed. I am just cursed this year. It's like the Hindenburg meets the Titanic. I've had a lot of bad beats, like just a lot of fluky stuff. But yeah, it's troubling. It's tough, man. It's tough to put picks in print, and you know I have to own it, obviously, but. I stand by the analysis, just the teams just don't want to cooperate. So it's not me. It's an organizational failure of the teams.
Well, I'll give you credit. You nailed the Washington one. Some people, actually only one person in this room thought Tennessee was going to win.
Yeah, I was scarred from guaranteeing the Commanders win over Dallas the week before. So I overcorrected, Neil. Sometimes it happens.
Emotional hedge. You guys do emotional hedges all the time.
Of course.
It's kind of.
I wanted to ask you, though, about the playoff probabilities. So it looks good for Washington. And I think in your article you list the teams that potentially could catch them. Very low odds. Where's Dallas? I don't think you even listed Dallas in there because Micah Parsons said we come
in playoffs?
They won their last two.
Playoffs possibility?
They probably have to they'd have to run the table, right?
Yeah, them winning six games, and I don't have them in playoff contention. I think the team that Washington needs to worry about is Tampa Bay because they have a very easy schedule going forward.
And they got the head-to-head.
They do, yeah. And they have the head-to-head. So they play the Raiders, Chargers, Cowboys, Panthers, Saints. I mean, there's not a good team on that list this season. So I think Tampa Bay is like the team that I think is going to make another team cry by getting that extra wild card spot. But they also could win the division. I mean, they're tied right for the division, too. So having that easier schedule, I think, kind of gives them a leg up on Atlanta, who still has to play the Vikings. They have to play the Commanders, too. Interesting things going down the stretch.
Yeah, I would say I get your point on Tampa, but I think based on the schedule, I think Tampa's going to win the division, which does so Washington's record against Tampa wouldn't matter. I think it's the Atlanta game that's bigger because of the head-to-head, and I think Atlanta will be fighting for the wild card, not the division title.
Yeah, there's a lot can happen. I can see Tampa, though, winning out. That's the thing. Like, if they, yeah. But like you said, that might get them the division. It's close. There's a lot of weird stuff happening this year. But yeah, I mean, I think the playoff picture will be in flux for a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Look, the fact that we're even talking about Washington in a playoff race this year is amazing. But yeah, I think that they will make the playoffs. I haven't really doubted that. Even when they were losing games, it didn't really worry me too much.
So you have them winning 10 games. Which two games do you have them losing? Phillies, I'm guessing one.
Yeah, the Eagles game.
Because that game's going to mean a lot for Philly because they're going to be going for that one seed.
It is, yeah. I would say looking at it, it looks like they're going to lose the – at least my model thinks they'll lose Philadelphia and Atlanta.
Wow.
But then what happens in week 18 against Dallas? Like, do they have to play that game?
Right.
Right. Like, who knows what happens?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've had them at a 10-win projection, a double-digit projection for most of the season. So I'd be surprised if they fell short of that.
Neil, you tweeted in late November how Cliff Kingsbury's offenses get worse as the NFL season wears on. Luckily, they put a 42 ball on the Titans heading into the bye week, so we don't have to hear as much about the Cliff that was gaining momentum after the three straight losses. Talk about what you did when you did a deep dive on those numbers.
Yeah, so there is a Cliff. Like, his offenses do get worse as the season goes on. I was just reading Ben Standig. He kind of did like a, not a TikTok, but he went through season by season and some injuries and defensive issues mm-hmm. cost some wins there. But just looking at, like, the offensive efficiency, it gets worse. The challenge with this year is the offense was historically efficient at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It really only had one place to go, right? Like, it's not going to get more historically efficient. It's only going to get worse. And that's just the way, like, offenses work. That's just the way that the NFL defenses see film, et cetera. So I would have expected a downturn even if Cliff's offenses got better, like, the second half of the year. But then, like you said, they put up 40. So that should allay some concerns. I don't think it's much of a big deal. I think we're just looking at some small sample size things. He's only focused on the offense this year. He seems to have a good handle on what's going on. He's got a very good quarterback. If the offense went from historically great to very, very good, Washington is still in a very enviable position.
What kind of a factor do you think Marshawn Lattimore is going to have?
If he's healthy, I think he's good. I mean, we've already kind of seen what you can plug in some of these defensive veteran guys and have some good success. So I'm optimistic. I mean, I think that it also helps move around some players that will be in a better position. Maybe schematically, it allows you to play the safeties different. So I'm excited to see, like, what the defense does, because I do think the defensive improvement of Washington has been an under-talked-about facet of their success. The defense was very, very bad mm-hmm. starting in the season and then got really it improved quite a bit. So I think that if this helps kind of move some pieces around to more of a position of strength, I think Lattimore could have a huge impact on the team. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Neil, good to catch up with you, man. We'll have you on again soon.
All right, love you guys. Happy holidays. Talk to you soon.
All right, thank you, Neil, sir, and
appreciate
your family.
It.
Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post at @NGreenberg is where you find him on Twitter. Don't forget, coming up in just about an hour, Brian Robinson Jr. from the Commanders will join us here on the Jux.